Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and today's podcast may conflict with the theology of many, but the Spirit of God pulled me aside this week and has been speaking a sure word of prophecy that must come to pass in certain days. Now, there are many people right now who are teaching what to expect before Jesus returns. My spirit has been a little bit concerned because nothing I was hearing was quite consistent with what God was telling me to speak. So let me share with you what God has spoken to me this week, and hopefully we'll give clarification in the minds of some of you out there who have heard conflicting messages as well. I heard the Holy Spirit speak, and this was concerning Jesus' return and the end of the world as we know it. I heard him say, "The kingdom must be delivered up." Now, for many of you Bible students out there, you've probably heard this spoken before. It comes from 1 Corinthians 15:24. When the Apostle Paul talked about the end and what it would take for the end to come. And he said, beginning in verse 22, "For as in Adam all men die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are in Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." Essentially, what Paul is saying is, before the end can come, the kingdom has to be delivered to God. Now, the question should arise in everybody's mind is, where is this kingdom that needs to be delivered up? Where is God's kingdom now? Jesus said in the Bible that the kingdom of God was within us. So if the kingdom is within us, how is it that Jesus himself is going to deliver up that kingdom to God before he comes back? It's not very logical that Jesus is going to deliver a kingdom to his Father, but yet the kingdom is here on earth where we are, and Jesus is in heaven, and this has to be done for him to come back. Well, if you look at it a little bit closer, if Jesus says that the kingdom is within us, then it must be obvious that Jesus must manifest the kingdom through us first before the kingdom can be delivered up. And this is a message of clarification that I think has been concerning the church for a long time, because we're expecting Jesus to come back and then everything being done the minute he steps foot on earth. But we are the body of Christ. We're his hands and feet in the earth. And our commission, when he told us to go into the world and teach the gospel, our commission was to pick up where Jesus left off. And he expects us to be occupying, taking territory and standing for the kingdom until he returns. However, that's not how it's been interpreted by many teachers and preachers. They expect us just to live a normal Christian life with nothing going on, and then miraculously Jesus is going to come back and we'll be poof, transformed into this glorious church, and then he'll take off. Well, that's not exactly how it goes. God had given me a prophecy about what he was doing in these last days, and he told me that he was in the process of restoring his ancient kingdom dynasty in the earth. Now, I want you to listen carefully, because when the Lord spoke this to me, he took me back to Adam and what Adam lost in the earth. And he told me that the reason Jesus came was not to bring us to heaven, but so that he could restore the heavenly kingdom here on earth. So whatever Adam lost, Jesus was supposed to restore here on earth. So when Jesus reconciled men to God, essentially what happened is he was sown in the earth as a son to raise up many sons like him in the earth who will do the work of the ministry in the earth and restore the kingdom that Adam lost. There is a kingdom that must be delivered, and that kingdom is within us. But that kingdom within us can only be released when we yield to the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to do the work in us. So as we're talking about this, the Lord was talking about how there was going to be a fight, because he says, as the body of Christ arises in the earth, the enemy's not just going to let us take it. So for the people in the church who don't believe there's going to be a tribulation, they are greatly deceived, because we already see the signs of warring going on right now. We see it in the nations around the world. Anytime there's a coup, anytime there's a takeover, there's bloodshed, there's fighting. And so God is commanding his church and his people to take a stand and take back the nations for the kingdom, not for the purpose of just controlling, but to restore peace and prosperity and abundance as was in the Garden of Eden. We're supposed to bring days of heaven back to the earth, but it can only be done through the blessing that Adam had. We're supposed to be walking in that blessing to multiply the things of the resources of the earth, to be fruitful, of course, for the kingdom, but to multiply the resources in the earth, to replenish things to the level that God had stated from the very beginning, and also to subdue the enemy forces and take dominion over those forces that are trying to harm human beings. We are the body of Christ, and each of us is a member of his body, and each of us has our position. The issue is in the body of Christ is we have not taken our positions. I mention this because, as I said, people are expecting Jesus to come back and it just be all over. But there's a lot that has to happen before he comes back. And one of the things the Lord has been talking to me recently about are some of the things that are also in the War Journal series, where he talked about war in the streets. Jesus said it in Matthew 24 that there was going to be war in the nations. There's going to be war and famine and poverty and all those things and great earthquakes. But he said those were the beginnings of sorrows. But one of the things he did say is those who endure to the end shall be saved, but this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations, and then the end will come. But how is this going to be preached? The gospel was never meant to be spoken as much as it was to be demonstrated. And part of restoring that kingdom dynasty is we're going to see a demonstration of God's kingdom in the earth. In every sector of this world, in business and government, we're going to see it in the marketplace, we're going to see it everywhere. And the Lord has what he calls a Trojan horse. He has a group of believers there who are ready to demonstrate the kingdom at his word. Now, as I said, people are saying that the church won't see tribulation, there won't be anything we're going through, but that's not exactly true. Now, tribulation is anytime there's persecution, anytime there's something that's pressing people. Well, we're in a press right now. We're in tribulation right now. We have been in tribulation. As Jesus says, in the world there's tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. So the fact that we can logically think we won't go through anything is not consistent with how the kingdom government operates. And I just want to briefly show you what the Lord talked to me about many years ago, because I asked him this whole thing about suffering. And the church doesn't talk about this, and people don't like talking about this, but it's a very key aspect of the kingdom is the suffering aspect. People won't talk about it, but it's ingrained in every part of the story that Jesus had. And he said, if we were going to be like him, we would have to go through what he went through. Not the same thing, but he said, if we will follow him, any man wants to come after him, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow after him. He's indicating that there is some suffering, but not to the degree necessarily what he went through. But each of us has to go through our own tribulation and cross to demonstrate the kingdom in our lives and the benefits of the cross in our lives. Now, again, prophecies have to proclaim the truth. And there are a lot of people that are only talking partial truths. They're saying that it's only good going to happen. We're not going to have the tribulation. But you have to understand, the Lord doesn't speak to us that way. He's never spoken to me that way. He's never given me a prophecy that way. When God speaks, he speaks by telling you to count the cost. He'll tell you something good, but then he'll tell you what has to happen in order for it to come to pass, what you have to give up, what you have to change to make it happen. And for example, look at Jesus' life. He reconciled all men back to God, but in order to get it done, Jesus had to die on the cross. He had to go to hell. He had to resurrect again. So he had to suffer all those things to bring good about in the earth. And his example sets the example for all of us. So for the church to think that only good is going to happen instantaneously is not necessarily true. There are some things that may happen that way, but for the most part, there's a suffering, there's a squeezing, a pressing that causes things to flow. And that's what we're looking at. The anointing comes through pressure, through persecution. And suffering, as I said, the Lord explained to me, is the way of the kingdom, the way of doing things. Romans 8:17 says that we are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified with him. So we have to suffer in order to be glorified with him. Then Paul said, again, he was talking about the sufferings of this present time, not being worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. So you have to understand that there is this pressing. There is something that's required of us. in order to see God's glory manifested in our life. Paul says it many times. He said in Philippians 1:29, for he talks about it's given unto us in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. So the idea of not having any persecution, not having any type of tribulation is not true. As I said, the world's in tribulation now. We saw what happened when Donald Trump won the election. There was rioting in the streets. People were angry. They're still mad to this day. There's threats going around. There's racism. People are losing their minds because one man arose to power of the kingdom. Now imagine what would happen when we all arise and all the sons of God come forth. That's just why we're exhorted to lay aside the weight and the sin and run our race with patience. We're told to look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. For it was he who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and despised his shame. You have to understand that the suffering part is a necessary part. Tribulation is a necessary part. But Jesus told his disciples, I'm leaving you the spirit of truth. There will be tribulation. But he compared it to childbirth, so birthing something. He said, it'll come. There'll be labor pains, but you won't remember them once the child is born, once things are delivered. And that's kind of how we got to look at it. We're birthing something in the earth. Back in 2010, 2011, the Lord showed me that some of the earthquakes, some of the things that were happening in the earth were happening because of the pains and sufferings of the sons of God in the Middle East and some of the other countries, that we were seeing things going on. But it was because these people were standing in faith and they were standing for what God had placed within them, and they were manifesting the kingdom, and it was causing the earth to shift. Just know that as things are happening, it is the sons of God being birthed in the earth and the earth travailing as well to see the manifestations of the sons of God. So we really want to keep you mindful of the fact that there's more going on than what people are stating to you, but it's because prophecy comes in part. And unfortunately, the way we do prophecy in this nation, there are camps of people who believe one person or another. But you rarely see a communication between the camps as to what God is telling you here, what you're telling here. Because I think if we put it all together, we'll see a more perfect picture of what's happening in our nation. For example, when I was given the War Journal book, I started writing notes in 1999. And when the Lord showed me what was going to happen in America, some crazy things. But he said, I will give you a confirmation. He says, you will get a confirmation from Dr. Oral Roberts. So in 2004, Dr. Roberts had a vision from God, and he had a strong word about what was happening in the body of Christ. And fortunately, he confirmed all the high points that God had given me already to publish. So I thank God for his obedience. However, it is amazing. Nobody's talking about that prophecy right now. It's like it's silent. Nobody is speaking what Dr. Roberts spoke, but yet it's something that's getting ready to happen in our streets right now. What he said was big, not only tribulation, but he told me that we were going to see war in the streets of America. In fact, he's telling a lot of people that now, to prepare for war. But for me specifically, he says, prepare for nuclear war. He says, America's going to be hit. He showed me five missiles. He said, two are headed to the United States, three are headed to our allies. And what he told me specifically is it cannot be stopped. And I asked the Lord, why it could not be stopped? And he pointed to the rebellion in our nation and how America has turned away from God. Now, have to understand, America is rebellious, but God blames the church for the rebellion because he said it is the church that has rebelled, and because the church has rebelled, the nation has rebelled. Now, in the War Journal 2 book was the time the Lord first gave me a prophecy concerning America, and it was kind of frightening. It was good at first, but then it got really frightening because he said, I just heard him say, this is the American church. And all of a sudden, boom, I get this vision. I see this big, huge, hulking body, this muscular, beautiful looking, and at this beautiful head. And there was nothing else said. This is the American church. And then all of a sudden, the body turns to walk away. And as the body walks away, I realize it had no head. The head was still there. And I'm puzzled because then the Lord gives me a closer vision of what's going on at the neck, where the head should have been attached. And I realized there was no severing, there was no seam where it had been broken, there was no cut. It was like the body was formed without the head. Intentionally, there was no connection. And the Lord said that they were in rebellion against him. He said that the body of Christ in America was in agreement with its members that it needed no head and decided to do their own thing. Then later on, in another book I wrote, Jesus gave his power of death, the Lord started revealing how this happened. And he said to me that America chose religion rather than God. We didn't choose to follow Jesus Christ. We chose to follow religion. And what did Jesus say? That on this rock I will build my church. He was talking about the rock of revelation knowledge. Knowledge that comes from heaven only and not from men, that causes the church to be strong, because that's where the gates of hell will not prevail. With that revelation knowledge that we get from the Spirit is where we have our power. Now, we have the Word, but you have to have the Spirit operating in conjunction with the Word in order for there to be power. But we took the Bible as a Bible, but we rejected the Spirit and supernatural gifts, the Holy Spirit, etc. Because of that, we don't have the power to withstand our enemies as a body. However, God said he has raised up a generation of people within the people, and it's a remnant of people who will stand and know how to fight. And those are the ones we're looking forward to seeing emerge in this hour. So even though tragedy is coming to America, it's not at a loss. And the Lord explained to me how this could happen. He said this has been the pattern of his people throughout history. He took me back to when he gave Noah and his son the commission to take the blessing across the world. They were supposed to repopulate the earth. They had the same blessing that Adam had. And the Lord said, Shem left. But the others decided they were going to stay in one space and be together. They didn't want to do what God said to do. They felt comfortable being together. So instead of going to the world and creating the repopulating world, they stayed in one place and they built a tower to make their name great, and they're going to build a tower to heaven. So they decided, we don't want to do it God's way. We're going to raise up something of our own, that we're going to reach heaven all by ourselves and make our names great. But what's interesting thing about that is the Lord compares that to the church, because he says that they have built themselves, this religious edifice they've built, is in the similitude of the Tower of Babel. And we know what happened with the Tower of Babel. God confused their language and scattered them across the earth, and then they obeyed God. The Lord even reminded me, he says, even after Jesus' death, the apostles were told to wait for the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit comes, they were supposed to go into Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. But did they do that? No, not initially. It wasn't until the stoning of Stephen that they actually ran and they left and they went from Jerusalem. Because you have to understand, because of what happened to Jesus, they were fearful for their lives. So they were in the upper room, they were praying. The miracles happened because the Holy Spirit descended. But when the Holy Spirit descended, it caused a stir in Jerusalem and surrounding areas, which caused great persecution against the church. Once Stephen was killed and the apostles knew their lives were in danger, that is when they went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Lord said the same thing has to happen in America, because the church has decided they want to do what they want to do. But in order for them to obey him, persecution and death has to happen in our nation. So is this the pattern? Lord said it's been the pattern from the beginning of history, how his people have behaved. So although there are people who believe that Jesus can come back, that there's nothing done, it is not the truth. If the Lord is saying that there's great persecution coming, there's suffering coming, because America has to be hit hard so that it will force the church to respond, which will cause them to catapult into their position as a glorious church, and God will clean them up. God will force that out of them, force the anointing to come forth, and we will see the miracles. But it's going to be with great persecution and suffering that they will move forward in this. And I say this with earnesty, because it's everything the Bible's always said. There's nobody in the Bible that I know, that I've read, that said any differently. They always talk about the suffering and tied it to living godly on this earth. Now, I wanted to make sure I got this point clear to everyone, because the Lord is pushing it ahead, because it's rapidly on our heels. And understand that God always gives us the good and bad in a prophecy so that we can turn things around before judgment. Is this a season of judgment? Yes. We call it a season of harvest, which is the same thing. There's people speaking about wealth coming. They're speaking about good things coming. Are they coming? Absolutely yes, to those who obey God. But what he's saying is the majority of the body of Christ is not in obedience. They're in disobedience. So we're going to see a great persecution. We're going to see a lot of negative happen to some of the people in the body. We're going to lose a lot of people in the body of Christ. It's the same thing he did in the wilderness when they refused to possess the land. What did he do? The ones who were murmuring, complaining, who were religious, didn't want to go in and do what God said, he killed them in the wilderness. And in many ways, this is apostasy, because these are people who refuse to obey God, and they basically have left already the faith, and they're still in the building, but they have left the faith, and God is saying he needs to clean up to make way for the end time harvest. So there's going to be a cleaning up as well. Now, concerning, and I mentioned Donald Trump, but I wanted to show you, speak one thing that the Lord showed me. The Lord has spoken to me about what's happening in the nation and preparing me for a lot of things that he wants me to do in this last day. But he also showed Donald Trump, and I saw him standing behind a podium that looked much like a pulpit, but he was speaking the oracles of God. And the Lord told me a while back that President Trump and Vice President Pence were not only political candidates, but they were fulfilling their earthly ministries unto God. So they stepped into this position not as politicians, but as ministers unto God, which is interesting. I don't know that anybody's ever done that before, but at least God has spoken to me in this season that that's how they have received this. So they're praying and seeking the wisdom of God while in the White House, and their intent is to do God's will while they're there. And you know, even in doing the inauguration, Donald Trump starts talking about righteousness. I mean, I don't believe I've ever heard a president speak about righteousness, because most of them are wanting to be politically correct. But he has no intention of being politically correct. He's intention to wanting to follow God. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said he chose Trump because he's the only presidential candidate that would stand in power and fight for America and for righteousness against our enemies. Now, he did say that our enemy is going to be coming at us. They're going to come and hit us hard. They're going to try to destroy this nation, but it will not happen. Repeat, I don't care how bad it looks, it will not happen. Because we are a nation that was founded on a covenant. That covenant still stands, and those of who believe in that covenant are standing for righteousness, and we will stand and fight for this nation. So just know that the Lord chose him for his stance on America, but not only for the nation, but for righteousness in our nation. And that is how America will be saved from total destruction. And those of us, as I said, who are believers, real believers, who are standing on righteousness will also stand on our covenant promises to God. And that's where you'll see the miracles. That's how you see this thing turn around. And finally, the sons of God will arise to the righteous places that they should be. So I exhort each of you who are a believer in Jesus Christ to really assess your heart and say, do you really believe? Or are you just thinking about going to heaven? Because many people in this hour are going to be thinking Jesus is going to break through the sky and that he's going to come take them out. But it's not going to happen that way. There's a lot that has to happen. There's going to be some tribulations. There's going to be some things we will see before that happens. But it has to happen in order for us to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that Oral Roberts said in his prophecy, and it's in a book that Kenneth Copeland Ministries put out. It's called The Wake Up Call. And he said specifically that something was going, that terrorism things were going to increase in this nation, and that he saw some horrible things getting ready to happen. But what he said was God is allowing it to happen because the church as a whole has not cared about anything other than their little ministries and what they do on a Sunday morning, that they have no care for the lost, the dying, the people are suffering, the people are crying in the street. And because of it, he's going to intensify it to force us to take note. And it's kind of sad because he said the church is not ready for Jesus to return. How can the world be ready? And he said God loves people too much to allow them to continue to suffer. He's got to raise up a church in power to help them. That book is available at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I also know that some of the videos are also online as well on YouTube. But I just want to stress the fact that this is the same message I've gotten for written in the War Journal and every book that God has had me had was to prepare the people of God for what was getting ready to happen in these end times and let them know no matter what it looks like, evil is not prevailing. It's the kingdom of God just coming forth. And you have to understand, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence. That violence is coming to earth because we are taking a stand and we are taking back what the devil stole. We're taking back the kingdom. And we're going to see a restoration of God's kingdom dynasty in this earth. The negative, the evil you see is because there's anger on the side of the enemy. He doesn't want to give it up, but he has to. Even with his wealth transfer, people think the wealth is going to fall out of the sky. No, the enemy's not just going to turn money over to you. You're going to have to fight for it. The book that the Lord had me write, It's Time to Recover All, it was based on what happened with David when the enemy came and stole the stuff while he and his men were out. And he prayed to God, said, what should I do? And the Lord said, he says, shall I pursue? He says, yes, pursue or take, and without fail, recover all. And that's what we're going to do in this season. And finally, what's going to happen is We're going to see a brand new world emerge before our very eyes. Out of the ashes, out of the dust, we're going to see a kingdom arise in power. The righteous will finally walk in their authority, and the people will rejoice. This has been Paula Matthew for Epic Books and Cafe with this glorious message of the end times. It's the best time to be in the kingdom. For those who will be obedient to God, it will be a time of restoration, a time of power, a time where the people will be rejoicing that the God of the Bible will manifest himself the way he always intended. And we will surely have days of heaven upon the earth. Until next time, God bless.